1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This week we're going to talk about how to impact a life or how to see a life changed. If we can't win a soul to Christ, we can't change a life. However, God uses us to bring souls to Him, and He uses us to impact lives. And in the same way you and I can't do it, in the same exact way, God uses us to do it through His way, through His power, through His Spirit, through Him working. As Paul said, He's working in me mightily. And that's why we go, that's why we do the work of God, that's why we try to have an impact on lives, because God tells us to. In the Great Commission, we're not only told to go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature, we're also told to baptize them and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so we'll read a lot of verses about Paul and how he worked hard to impact lives. And we will continue in that on that theme. How to impact a life. How to impact a life. Is it getting way too hot in here? It is 75 right now, and the heater's still blowing. Okay. Okay, Dave, I got to give you instructions here, because we're going to be 80 by the time the service starts. In the box back there is a key with a red tag. Okay? If you go out this door, go to the left, there's a utility closet on the other side of the hallway. Open that door and turn the switch on your right. It's like looking at a light switch. Turn that off. That'll turn the furnace off. All right. So Paul goes out, and he goes and tries to impact lives. And he's going to tell us how he's going to write to several churches and tell them how he impacted them and what he did. And we can follow the Bible pattern and see how it worked there. I want to say there's no greater joy than impact lives. And 3 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. And if you know the book of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he's writing to many believers, but he calls them his little children because he's a spiritual parent for them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and let's start at verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you all in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope for our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. So he's telling them, he started the church there. He's telling them, I'm glad to hear you're still going forward. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Let's ask the Lord to help us understand how to impact lives. Lord, thank you for the word and thank you for the chance to preach it. We pray that you'd speak to us, Lord, and we pray that we'd impact lives. And we pray that we would know how to and have your methods, Lord. You obviously noted some ways and some things that we can do and the how-to, so we pray that you would help us to do those things and to know those ways so that we can impact lives and make a difference in souls. We pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. No greater joy. No greater joy. Look at verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So he says, it just brings us joy when we're praying for you. I want to say winning souls is wonderful and such a vital thing in life, and every Christian ought to be doing that and seeking God to use them to bring souls to himself. But impacting lives, seeing people in church, seeing people disciple, seeing them now being good Christians and trying to impact people and knowing they're going to heaven now, and then also knowing they're serving the Lord and now they're being transformed. Maybe their family's being transformed. There is no greater joy than to do that. And Paul is always praying with joy and rejoicing that they've been saved and that they're still going forward and serving the Lord. And so we all want to do that. I hope you have a desire and a passion to impact a life during your lifetime. And it's important that we do that. And it's a great joy. Just a few things. I'm going to give you some methods. The Bible methods. And as everything I've ever seen in my life, it's always true. And is what I've... First of all, you just do what the Bible says, Now, experience, once you experience a bunch of things, you'll find out the Bible way was the best. And so I want to tell you, these both have impacted lives, and just, this is what the Bible says. We would say it anyway, but I want to say it, this is what works. Okay. Because it's God's way always works. It's just like that in the family and every other thing. If I didn't know anything else about all the history of the Bible and I just tried it and found out how everything it says to do works when you do it, I would say that God must have written that. Because men sure can't write that perfect of a book, especially 35 different men from all over the world and that never met each other. And so it's great. So first thing, just some methods here. First of all, you must bring the word. You must bring the word. Verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And it come with the word. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing the asunder of soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Neither is there any creature, verse 13, that is not manifest in his sight. The Bible is so powerful. And if you want to impact a life, you need to either know where to find the verses to read them to them, or you need to have memorized to quote them to them. Because even after they're saved, I know we said use the word when you're witnessing, but use the word when you're talking to them and trying to impact their lives and help them go forward. Use the Bible. It is, and I want to say, a lot of Christians do this well-intentioned, and I know they mean well with it, but I want to say this, it is not giving them the word when you tell them what the Bible says. I don't think that's wrong. But, you say the Bible says you need to go to church. That's good. Tell them that. That's good. But you didn't give them the Bible. You gave them your words. And that's fine. There's nothing bad about that. But you suddenly get a spiritual sword that stabs into the soul and spirit when you say, the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. Do you see the difference? Okay. So give them the word of God. If they need to do it, the Bible says it. Okay, because the Bible says it gives us all that we need, so we're thoroughly furnished into all good works. So, I've had many of our folks call me sometimes, say, Pastor, I'm talking to somebody right now. Why does the Bible say this? Then, if you have to, that's fine. I might not answer, but you can try that. I think you need to know what the Bible says and tell them what the Bible says and quote them the Bible, and it's powerful. The parable of the sower says the sower sows the word. That's the seed. That's what changes lives, giving the word of God. And I'm going to say, as a part of that, it's not that we're going to have two lessons on this. It's not in today's lesson. But get them to a church that preaches a lot of Bible. Okay? They will never grow much. Just like you take a baby and don't feed them much, they're not going to grow much. Okay? If they don't get to a church, it's vital. Don't get them to church they're going to like. Okay? That's not... Everybody thinks they gotta like church. You gotta find a church they like. Listen, can I imagine if you chose a doctor like that? I want a cool doctor. I don't care if he can help get you better. I just want someone who's hip, you know. I just want a doctor who, I want good music in the doctor's office. That's what I need. And if he has good music, that's the doctor I'm going to. And what are you thinking? You gotta have somebody who can help you. And the word of God's gonna help us. We need Bible preaching. We need fed. Okay, so get them the word and get them a sermon. We grab a CD, take them online to our site, let them listen to a sermon. But get them the word of God, and you must bring them the word. I want to say underneath that, as part of the word, give them the gospel. Give them the gospel. So it says, look at verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. The gospel. So the gospel is so important. I'm going to read you a couple of verses about this. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6, which has come unto you as it is written in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you. I'm sorry, it's the last word of verse 5, the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it. So the gospel brings forth fruit everywhere in the world. The gospel. And there's something powerful about it. It is the power of God. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I want to say, if everybody in church is saved this morning, it can only do good to mention the death, burial, and resurrection. Because the death, burial, and resurrection is powerful. You don't want to get far from the gospel. And even though they might have already gotten saved, listen, we love him because he first loved us. How do we know he loved us? The gospel. So if you're discipling somebody and you're in your fourth week of discipleship with them and you're working with them, just the gospel ought to be fresh in our minds. It is powerful. Remind, keep the gospel fresh. Keep the death, burial, and resurrection, which is the gospel. Keep that fresh. And it's interesting, a very wise old evangelist told me one time, he said, I found it true that whenever there's a problem in the church, he said, preach the cross, and you'll find many times the problems will go away. It just brings everything into perspective. It just is powerful. So the gospel, always keep close to the gospel. So number one, you must bring them the word, and part of that is the gospel. Number two, what do you got to have? You got to have the power of God. The power of God. Back in our text, 1 Thessalonians, and chapter 1, verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And so he says it came in power. Let's go look at another church that he started and how he talked about starting the church there, 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll find lives were impacted, churches were started, souls were saved, lives were changed when someone came with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible commands us, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul again talking about starting the church there. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. By the way, if you're too self-conscious, you can't really be used. Because Paul said, I didn't come with excellency of speech. It didn't matter to me how eloquent I was. We always think, oh, I'm just not very good. I don't know very much. I'm just not very smart. I'm not very good at this stuff. Quit thinking about yourself all the time. Ask God to help you and just go. Let God help. You're the perfect person for God to have to give his power to because you don't have all the other talents. And he wants that person changed more than you. So let him bail you out. He's in the business of helping people who are being used. He's looking for someone to use. Say, Lord, I can't do this. And he says, good, that's what I need. And so that's the perfect candidate. God, that's who God uses. I didn't have all this eloquence. Declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's that gospel. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You know, if you were shaking while you're trying to teach somebody, you'd probably say, they're never going to change. And I'm messed up. But Paul said, that's how I came. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and a power. That your faith should not rest in the sand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God. At Pentecost, they weren't even planning on changing lives that day. They were just praying. But the power of God came and 3,000 were saved and baptized and repentant and joined the church. Why? Because the power of God. The power of God is what convicts. As John 16, 10, 11, 12 tells us. The power of God is what gives us great ability with boldness to preach the word of God. The power of God converts. The power of God convicts people of their sin. The power of God opens their eyes to see what the scripture says. And the Spirit leads them and guides them into the truth. The power of God you can say the same thing without the power of God. People just stare at you blankly and nod their head and say, that's nice. They give a nice story and your religion is very interesting. But the power of God makes them either have to get mad or make a decision. The power of God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit if we're going to impact lives. He's speaking to their heart while we're speaking to their ears. That's the power of God. And the Bible does not make it. God wants to fill us. He wants you to have power. He says so many things. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to put power on those who want to do his work. All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Why? Because God says, you need my power. I'm interested in them being changed. But he doesn't put power on non-workers. You have no reason for the power of God. You're not going to go forth as a laborer. See, everything is in the big truck there that they need. Everything is in there to change a life. The truth of the word of God, the knowledge of God, and all those things, you have all that knowledge inside of you. You're the truck, but the Holy Spirit is what starts a truck and delivers it and takes it to people, makes them know they have the need. And you've got to have that power. And just like at Pentecost, that same Holy Spirit's alive today. Bible says you just ask. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you ask and you go, you will find God will empower you. Well, I'll wait till God empowers me. He empowers goers. He empowers doers. And trust that God loves their soul more than you do. And pray for the power of God. By the way, the Holy Spirit will go before you and prepare them also. And so the power of God, that's the second thing to impact life. Third thing, this is the one that this is when you're going to say, oh man, do I have to? Third one is you must live it if you want to impact life. You must live it. Boy, there's a lot of verses here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Go back there where we were. By the way, everything I'm saying applies to you raising children. Because you're trying to impact your kids. Listen, how many of you in this room, how many of you in this room, your family went to a Christian church of some sort and didn't live it, and then you ended up going away from it? Raise your hand. Look around. That's a third of the people in this room. Okay, a lot of people put their hands down. Third of the people in this room. It's just, I get the story all the time. You know, I went to church when I was young and it was okay, but my parents at home, they were like this and this. And by the time I got old enough, I said, I don't want that. And they're out there. Okay. Very, very common. Why? You don't impact life if you don't live it. It becomes a mockery. It actually, I've always found it easier to impact a young person, say a teenager, because that's that impactful time. If their parents are not Christians, don't care anything about God, don't have no interest, I find it easier to impact them than people whose parents go to church and are hypocrites. It's hard, and it's very difficult. You got to live it. And a lot of verses talk about this. Chapter 1, verse 5, a verse we've read here again. Let's finish it up. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Whose sake were they living it for? Their sake. Their sake. It's interesting. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter... Oh, let's go to chapter 2, by the way. We're right here at 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And verse 10. Ye are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved among ourselves among you that believe. Paul said, hey, you know how we lived. You know how we lived. And then 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3 and verse 7. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither do we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. You getting the idea here? Because we lived a certain way to show you an example, to give you a pattern to follow. So many things to say right here. One of the things that we struggle with the most, because we got some pretty amazing Christians in Open Door, and we struggle so much because everybody thinks church is a church. A lot of people think that. Many times we'll go, I just, people pop in my mind. We'll go find somebody to witness to them. They're not saved, and they're just out there in the world living in sin and doing all that stuff. We get them to church, start impacting their life. And then we find out their parents go to church. But you didn't know that when you went to the house because the parents are living just like the world. And then the parents try to get them, and they tell me, oh, you know what? They're going to go to our church now that they're serving, now that they're saved and stuff. They're going to go to church with us because, you know, we're a great, we go to church every Sunday. We're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I look and go, that's an interesting saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. They said they went to your church for like 14 years. Maybe Maybe they need a different voice. Because people think churches are all the same. And they go to church and they see the people. And so they say, okay, that's Christianity. You talk like this, you live like this. That's not Christianity. Bible Christianity is victorious and awesome and abundant and wonderful. But man, when they don't see it, they aren't going to. They need a pattern to follow. And usually if someone could see one really good Christian, they want that. People, I want to say this. There are millions of people in church this morning, and the church is, it's okay. I mean, people are saved, and they preach some Bible, and it's fine. But they know something inside of them says, this really doesn't look like what I see in the Bible. It's got to be more to it than this. And they want something better. They want real Christianity. I find very few Christians who don't like what we have. Okay? And we haven't arrived, trust me. I'm just saying, real intense New Testament out there in the street, winning souls to Christ, loving people, living it. You know, and I want to say this. Though you say, there's so many things I have to say here. One of the greatest ways to become a good Christian is need to be. You'd be amazed how when a parent really gets concerned for their children's spiritual situation, how they straighten up. Now, they should do it because they love Jesus so much. But there is absolutely nothing wrong with you saying, you know what? I need to be better than this to have, I don't want my kids doing that. You know, when you start getting your own converts and you start trying to win people to Christ, and I've always found this, separation comes to soul winners naturally because they understand naturally, I have to be an example now. The average Christian is not a very good Christian because they're not trying to be an example to anybody. And when you're under pressure to be a good Christian because people need to follow your example, whether it's parenting or discipling or converts or whatever, it helps you clean up your act. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't wait till you have arrived until you start working. Okay? You'll grow as you work. See, you becoming a laborer transforms your life. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Jesus says, you get yoked up with Christ, you start being changed. His power has to flow through you. His word has to flow through you. You have this pressure where you have to go to church. How can you not be there when your convert shows up to church and you're not there? Suddenly, you got to be at church anyway because the person you invite is going to be there. I've had that before. Somebody walks in, hey, great to see you. Hey, you know where so-and-so is? And I know they don't always come. I'm like, you know, I haven't seen him yet today. Well, man, they told me to come here. They're not even here. Oh, man, it's difficult to keep those people, by the way, in church, that service. I'll say, you know, why don't you come sit down here and we'll see if they show up. But it helps you. It helps you. And to be an example. And so you must live it. It gives them a pattern to follow. Let me see what verse I'm reading here. Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And there's a lot of verses on this, and you've already seen how he does that. Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And he says in Ephesians, whose faith follow? Hebrews says that also. Whose faith follow? Considering the end of their conversation. Philippians chapter 3. There's a lot of verses that say this. And verse 17, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have seen us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You got to live it. Don't worry. You just need God to get... This statement is very funny. You say, man, I don't want anybody following me. You know what is great about this? I found this to be so true. God will give you people that you're a step ahead of. And here's a strange thing in the Bible. Biblically, God magnifies people to lead people. What that means, and people, it's very common, especially in the Old Testament, some person may magnify to be the leader. Joshua had to have that happen, Moses had to have that happen, and that's the phrase God uses, magnified them. And so why is that? Because you got to look better than we probably are to lead them. Okay? Now, your temptation is to destroy your magnification. And when I say magnify, not giving you glory, I mean it's they think you know what you're doing. And they trust you. God will give you people that you are a step ahead of that you can lead. And you, if you spend your time saying, oh man, don't do what I do. Don't follow me, man. You don't know how bad I am. You're not helping the situation. You don't need to say, I'm so incredible. Be just like me and you'll have arrived. You don't need to be like that. But you know what? For some reason, they're going to be looking to you. I want you to know, your converts in general won't look to me. They'll just think the pastor is somebody that's, you know, he's not, he doesn't know what temptation is. He just, you know, he lives in an ethereal world. And that's just what they think. And so you'll know that I'm normal. Well, in some ways. But you'll know that. However, your convert will think you're like me, man. And look how much you've changed, man. And so they will start. They won't say, I'm going to act like you. They just will think what you do is the way Christians are supposed to be. That's why bad Christians produce bad Christians. Because they think that's the norm. And if you read your Bible every day, you'll be shocked. They'll read the Bible every day. You say, you know how long it took me to read a Bible every day? You didn't do it for 10 years, then you started doing it, and then you impacted a life, and then all of a sudden, they look at you and you're reading the Bible every day, and you say, well, man, I didn't read a Bible for 10 years. Dummy? Don't do that. Say, man, I'm getting so much reading a Bible every day. And they'll think that's normal, and you'll produce somebody reads a Bible every day. Don't make them go through your whole process. Because they'll get to your point where you are very quickly. And then you got to get better. You say, oh man, I don't want that. I'm going to have someone pushing me. It's okay. It's good. A little pushing never does anybody bad. We are so afraid of any pressure. We are so afraid of pressure. You're so lucky you didn't grow up in a world where you had to pray in your crops in the rain or you weren't going to eat. Everyone's so afraid. Don't be afraid of pressure. It makes you better. Hello, 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 hello. Is anybody out there? Out there, there. We are this society that doesn't want to be pressure. I'm going to tell you, spiritual pressure is good. It helps you. And it's okay. And you need to strive toward this to be an example. The devil will undermine your influence if you're not living it. I don't understand. We do it. I just don't get the logic of it, okay? The logic is, well, you do this, so it's okay if I do this. Okay, just blank statement here. You have to do what the Bible says if everybody in the world is a Satan worshiper. Okay, it doesn't matter what everybody else does. However, God designed it to mentor people. And so you're supposed to follow somebody as they follow Christ until you get close enough to Christ where you can just follow him directly. But it takes a while to get there where you can really see what Jesus is even like. And so you got to follow someone as they're following Christ. And eventually you're getting close enough where you don't have to follow somebody. And but you're following Christ directly and you know him well and you got a good picture of the Bible. But until, so God designed it that way. So what happens is you're sitting there smoking a Marlboro and telling them about, you know, victory in Jesus. And they're going, wait a minute, you smoke? Oh man, why do you tell me I should go to church every Sunday? You're not supposed to smoke. Why should I go to church? The devil does that. He just makes them. He makes them use whatever we're doing wrong. And by the way, didn't you look for faults in your parents who are Christians, so you had an excuse to go do wrong? Okay? That's what they do that. That's why the spiritual leader of a church, the pastor, you want to talk about pressure, the Bible says multiple times, my job is to be blameless. If I have anything that you see that's bad, listen, people got an excuse. And so a pastor has to be blameless. And so I basically go and lock myself in a steel cage every day, and I never come out, and nobody, and it's blindfolded around there, nobody can see me, and then I come to church and preach and go back into my cage. And so I can be blameless, because we've got to, I'm joking, and we have got to be blameless. I want to tell you, we got this thing, everybody's so self-noticing everything about themselves. I'm so, I can't. If you are more focused on the need of the world and Jesus, you know, you'd probably be a better Christian. You know what? Just ask God to give you the influence and help. Ask, say, Lord, I want to be the kind of person who somebody could follow. Give me the victory. He wants to change you. And you know what? You can be an example to follow. Paul said, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm doing it right. He's not saying he's perfect. He says, I have not apprehended. You're not perfect. But you know if you're not a hypocrite and you're growing and you're doing okay, you're doing better, you're growing. You know if you're, and you know when you're playing games. Okay, you must live it, otherwise they get an out. I want to understand in leadership, people generally do 80% of what you do. So they kind of. People who are your followers, they kind of see how you do it, and they say, you're up here, but you're that. And they're going to say it to you. If you keep growing as a Christian and you get influenced, they'll say, well, you don't understand. You're not like me. You're just kind of different. Okay? They don't know you very well, do they? Okay? But that's what they think. Because you become a good Christian, and good Christians are different than the world. And they say, well, man, I know, but, and they don't believe you, but what you used to be like. And so if you get here, your followers generally will go about to here. It's just the way followers do. Until they get close to Jesus and really fall in love with him and want to be like Jesus, they kind of just do 80% of what you do. If people do 80% of what you do, will they survive as a Christian? Take your church attendance. Take your prayer life, your Bible study, and things like that. So you need to be an example for them, and a good example. And they will think that the one who brought them the gospel is what it is to be a Christian. That includes parents. They will think the person who brought them the gospel is what it is to be a Christian. See, they don't know the Bible yet. So they say, okay, you are the fulfillment of the Bible. You're what a Christian is supposed to be like. That's what God's going to do to them. That God's going to make them want to follow you. And so if you are what the Bible is supposed to is. If you're what a Christian's supposed to be like, are they going to get a good picture of what a Christian life's supposed to be like? That's why you have to live it. Now, you're going to be, I know, you've come from a hard background, you came a long way, you've made a lot of progress. I'm not on you. God will give you someone who you will look like a good Christian to, and you'll be able to help them, and you bring them as far as you are, and they'll be doing great. And then by that time, you'll be farther ahead. That's why you got to keep growing. And it scares me is to think some of the people in our church have passed me. I'm like, hey, just slow down here. Go do some bad things. And I'm joking again. You want to be that kind of person that they look at it and say, yeah, I want to be like them, because they're going to do that naturally. That's what God gave you to them. You're their parent. And I want to say, if you think it's a parent, you can point them and say, look what pastor does. Now, you can do that, and let's say it's 100% influence here, okay? I might give a 10% influence. You're the parent. Parents raise kids, not pastors. Okay? I raise my kids. And I want to say, it'll help to have a pattern. It'll help to see what... You can see a good example. If they can maybe look at one of my girls and just say, man, the little girl can say, I want to be like them. Tiffany's so sweet. They can do that. That's fine. That's good. But I don't understand. You got to live it. The person who God puts forefront, the one who wins them to Christ, the parent, whoever, you got to live it. You really got to have it and be different and really live a Christian life. You must live it if you want to impact them. Wow, it's late. Number four, you must be loving and patient. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. You must be loving and patient if you want to impact lives. Remember before you had kids, how good you thought your kids would be? And you might have good kids, but, you know, be pretty patient with those things, those little kids. They take some patience to raise kids well. You start saying, "Are you my child? I was never that dumb." That's what you start saying. You were, by the way, or dumber. You were more dumber. But Second Thessalonians here, First Thessalonians, sorry, First Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already, I'm a second, First Thessalonians chapter 2, sorry. I got a lot of verses in both. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For we are gentle among you, even as an earth cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel only, but our own souls, because you were dear unto us. If you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you. You see how patient and sweet-spirited and loving he is? Listen, spiritual converts are babies. Babies are messy. Babies wake up at the wrong time. Babies, I guess they do. I've never woke up with them, but my wife tells me they wake up at the wrong times. Babies are a lot of work. How many of you men heard from your wife that the babies woke up in the middle of the night? Some of those guys are in my cabin. Trust me, they sleep and snore. We look in the bait and. And babies are so much work. You got to be patient. They're baby Christians. Oh, man. I could tell the stories of people, the things that I did when I was a new Christian. I was so glad. I had a youth pastor who wasn't patient, and I had a pastor who was patient. The youth pastor left town before long. He couldn't take us. Our pastor understood we were just dumb as a box of rocks and didn't know what we were doing. And he had to be patient with us. And he was patient. And we did so many dumb things. So many things. The poor guy. You'll be surprised that what a new Christian doesn't know not to do. Imer and Hammond, there was a new guy in church. And he was up there in the balcony. And he was excited. He was growing and he was learning. And I was sitting up there in the balcony. And the preacher was preaching. Just let it rip. And this guy liked it. And he just said, "Blank, that's good." That was his amen. And, that's not good. Don't do that, okay? And they don't always know how to act. They don't always know, you know, all the things to say and what to do and all those things. All that stuff is true. You got to be patient and loving. Have you ever invited someone to church and they said they were going to be there? And they didn't show up? How many of you are still waiting for that person who's promised you? Raise your hand. Okay, all in the room. Okay, listen. They take some patience. Don't give up on them. You got to be as a mother. Listen, these are like a parent. It's as a nurse cherishes their children. They are babies. But be a spiritual parent. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. You know, God's given me grace. I'm not even going to finish this point. God's given me grace. My memory used to be good. I used to have a very good memory. Now my memory has major problems. But way before my memory went bad, God gave me something I'm so glad about. I have the ability to totally forget someone's mistakes and faults, and be able to recall them when I need to. And I can't even tell you how I've been able to do that. Literally, they will go and cuss me out and say, "I'm never going back to church," and I will completely forget about it. They'll come back to church and they'll be apologizing to me and say, "What are you apologizing for? You remember what I did?" I said, "I don't. Don't remind me." Now, don't try that, okay? Sometimes I do remember. But then other times, I remember, you know what? I got to be careful with this person because they have a propensity to do this, and not that I don't want them at church, but just this is probably not the best area to put them. This is not the best thing to give them. You know, God's given that. You know, they're gonna mess up. They're gonna have faults. You just got to say, you know what? They're learning. Let's just give them some patience. Just give them some grace. How many of you needed grace at some point in your life? Where you said, you know, can you just cut me some slack? I know, you know. You know, and by the way, that's how many people love coming here because we have patience for people who aren't perfect yet. Otherwise, we're not going to like each other very much. So just be patient. You got to realize they're going to frustrate you. Your kids are going to frustrate you. You have days where you say, did like a brain vacuuming creature come into our house during the night? What happened to you? And I mean, you're just going to think that sometime. You just got to be patient in life with people. When they're children, when they're spiritual children, just love them. When they come and apologize, just forgive them. Don't keep holding things back, bring them back up. Just be patient. I need patience. You need patience. Let's just be patient, people. You're going to have to be if you want to impact lives, because they're going to be embarrassed sometimes. And you just need to say, man, I've done worse. Forget about it. Just be patient with them. And those are some ways to impact lives. All right, we gotta pray and get to the main service. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray that you would help us to impact lives, Lord. May we have the patience of you, Father. And may we help people. And may we have the power of God and go do your work. And work with us, Lord, and help us to have the kind of people that we can help, Lord. Send us people that can follow us as we follow you. And help us to improve. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you in 10 minutes.